you guys let me speak this morning. It's probably more for me than it is for anybody else, but I brought my supply. Yeah. And before we go any further, Dorothy lost a friend named Justin, and she wants us to pray, okay, for the family. So let's just bow our heads. And if you're sitting next to someone, just reach out and hold their hands, because we're just going to pray as a body for Justin's family. And Father, as we pray right now on behalf of Justin, we would intercede for him. We would lift Justin's family up before your throne of grace this morning. And we would ask that your grace would just sweep over his family right now. That there would just be waves of grace that sweep over the family. And that as your grace moves upon the family, that your Holy Spirit would bind up the brokenhearted, heal the wounded, bring wholeness to the family, even in the midst of the loss. Lord, as we pray for Justin's family this way, we would just pray for ourselves this way too. The Lord, I just would ask that you would just sweep a wave of grace over our congregation, you know, just as we need it, because you are so good. And so for Justin's family and for us, let your Holy Spirit touch our spirit and bring healing and wholeness once again. And I thank you, Father, that we have the opportunity just to rejoice and celebrate in you for all that you have done for us, because you are so, so good. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, I would like this morning, if I get done too soon, and Leonard might have some words or something like that, but as I came into church this morning, you know, most of the people are like, well, how are you doing? Well, I'm doing well, and yet at the same time, you know, you're shedding tears and stuff like that, but you're doing well, and so I want to, those who came over yesterday to see Joyce and minister to us or whatever, or minister to me, and thank you for letting me whip out my sick humor on you. Yeah, most of you know that when it comes to death, the way the halls deal with death is we're very humorous about it, and most people think you're kind of sick and morbid, but that's just how we do it, okay? And so, and I thought I was pretty sick and morbid until my sister was sitting there, and she whips out this comment out of nowhere that makes me look like, man, I'm pretty normal. Yeah, I forget what it was, but it was, hey, I'm okay, you know? and so one of the things that I would like to do is, you know, one of the things is just kind of talk about death a little bit, because part of our Christian experience is dying, and we all know this, but we really don't talk about death all that much. And sometimes, you know, and Joyce and I talked about it a lot, because one of her mottos from the time I met her is, you know, when it's like, well, you prepare for death, but you expect to live. And this was way before she even came down with cancer. That was her attitude. And so it's, some of us would say it this way: you prepare for the worst, but you expect the best. Okay? And so and I guess before I go on, next week is Mother's Day, is that right? Okay. So how many are doing Mother's Day stuff? Okay, well, a few people are. You know, I'm not, so. Yeah. As an attempt at humor, okay? Okay, so in 2 weeks, from today. Okay, that's going to be on the 17th. We're going to go to the Master Grill again. The whole church is invited to go to the Master Grill, and we're going to celebrate again. Now, so just mark it on your calendar if you want a good meal. Yeah, I'm paying for it. We're springing for it. And we're just going to celebrate. Yeah. And this was the original intent. And then when God touched Joyce and healed her and raised her off of her deathbed a year ago, I thought, man, I got cheated out of Master Grill. And so we'll just go and celebrate her healing. So God is good. We get to go again. Amen?
Amen.
Yes? Kids are invited too. 13 and up. No. Children are welcome, okay? And so, but I will need, you know, because again, we'll need to make reservations. So just let us know, let me know if you guys can come. And we'll just celebrate again God's goodness. One of the things there's about three things I'd like to share. And part of it is, you know, when you walk through stuff in life, your theology changes, yeah? Because there's things that you think you know, and then you go through life, and you think, well, I guess it's just changed. And I had a professor one time, you know, on a theology course, and she had listed, you know, this professor, she had listed these beliefs, and then she had initialed them and dated them, and she had initialed them and dated them in pencil. And she said, the reason for that is because next year I probably will not believe exactly what I put down on this paper because my theology changes as I experience God. And so that taught me something, is that when we walk through things, you know, our perspective changes and God begins to speak some things to us. So in regards to Joyce, you know, this journey was a 4-year journey. And as she talked with God about some things, her perspective changed a whole lot. So as Leonard said, hang on, because next week you will be different than you are this week. So this will be fun, okay? But John 17:3 tells it this way. Jesus says, this is eternal life. And then he tells us a definition of eternal life. Now, when we talk about eternal life, the easy thing for us to do is to have our mind chunk heaven. You know, when I die, I inherit eternal life. And Jesus says nothing about that. Jesus says in John 17:3, this is how he says it, so I don't misquote it. Jesus says, now this is eternal life, that they may know you, and he's praying to the Father. This is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. And that's eternal life. And so Jesus clarifies for us something, is that eternal life is not this existence out there that we're waiting for, but that eternal life has everything to do with our relationship with God the Father and Jesus Christ and knowing Him. So that the moment that we yield our spirit and our hearts to the Lord Jesus Christ, we have entered into eternal life. Because we have entered into a relationship with Him. So we need to think in those terms, that I already have eternal life. So Jesus then says, when he goes to Mary and Martha's house and he's going to raise Lazarus from the dead, Jesus, you know, gets there and the sisters come out, oh, Lord, if you would have just been here earlier, you could have touched Lazarus and healed him off of his sick bed and you know, made him well. And Jesus said, hey, this is not a problem. And in John 11:25, this is what Jesus says, and this is, you hear this all the time at funerals. But you need to understand Jesus' concept of eternal life. It's relationship, okay? So he says in John 11:25, Jesus says to Martha, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live, even though he dies. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Because Jesus understands that if we've already received eternal life because we have entered into this relationship with God the Father, and with Jesus, we have eternal life. And so, therefore, our perspective begins to change. It's not like we have this life on this earth and then we have eternal life in heaven. We have eternal life now. And so our spirit that God has given to us inhabits a physical body for about 70, 80 years. And then that physical body dies. But our spirit continues on. It's not like we die and then we live it some more. Again, in a different way, it's more of our spirit just continues to live. It's just that our body that holds the spirit while we walk on this earth has ceased to exist. Okay. So that's kind of how God sees this thing. So in Psalm, the book of Psalms, in Psalm 115, is a real fascinating verse. Psalm 115, Psalm 116, verse 15 says this: Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. Now, we hear that, and that just does not compute to us very well as humans, because we tend to think in terms of our life as here, existing here. And God's perspective is precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. Now, how can that be precious? Well, we need to understand some things from God's perspective. This physical body that holds the spirit that has eternal life is not life. This is a container for that spirit, okay? God created us to have relationship with him, perfect, full. And before sin entered the world, when Adam and Eve, before they sinned, they walked with God and they talked with God. And they enjoyed God's presence in a way that no human being on this earth since has ever experienced. Because there was no sin, and there was therefore perfect unity or oneness in that relationship that God created man to have with him. And so sin enters the world. And we deal with the effects of sin in our life. But from God's perspective, why did he create us? He created us to have this perfect oneness with him. It's like this relationship with God, the most perfect manifested presence of that relationship and how it works itself out, that's what God desires. And that's what Adam and Eve had before the fall. And so God, in Psalm 116, verse 15, I think God is giving David a perspective from God's perspective, death of my saints. They're the ones who love me and have this relationship with me. Their death is precious to me. No, it's not because, we get all emotional on death and stuff like that. But that, I don't think, is why it's precious to God. And then turn in your Bibles to Philippians chapter 1, verse 21. Paul, as he writes to the Philippians, and this is a really neat verse. We hear this verse a lot, and Joyce would say it this way: we say this verse, but we really don't mean it. And I think we don't mean it so much is it's we don't understand what Paul is talking about. But he says this. He says, "For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." Wait a minute. How can dying be gain? Now, part of our problem that we have as humans as we walk, this is all the existence that we know, right? Everything else out there, I have to live by faith because I don't see it and behold it. And so right now, it's all that I know for sure is what I experience, and I experience life on this earth in a physical way, and so that dominates my thinking. And so I think if my life, that in this physical life that I think in terms of, if it comes to an end, how can that be gain? And so, but Paul says to live is Christ, to die is gain. He says, if I am to go on living in the body, in this physical body, this will mean fruitful labor for me. Yet what shall I choose? He says, I do not know. He says, I am torn between the two. I desire to depart and be with Christ, which is better by far. But it is more necessary for you that I remain in the body. Convinced of this, I know that I will remain and I will continue with all of you for your progress and joy in the faith, so that through my being with you again, your joy in Christ will overflow on account of me. And so he just basically says, it's better to go to be with the Lord. Now, to help us understand why Paul can say that, we need to go to 2 Corinthians as he writes to the church in Corinth. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, he deals with death and eternal life. All right, and so there's going to be a point to this besides just, this is how I see things. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, he talks about our heavenly dwelling, but beginning in verse 6, he says, we're always confident, therefore, and know that as long as we are at home in the body, we are away from the Lord. Now, there's a dichotomy here because we understand what Paul is saying, and yet at the same time, we are with the Lord today, aren't we? We have a relationship with the Lord, and yet Paul states we're still not with him fully. There's another element or dimension to this life that we haven't experienced yet. And so Paul says, as long as we're alive in this physical body, we cannot fully experience that dimension that God has for us. I think Paul understands something, is that as long as we're alive in this physical body, where and living in this world in which sin is a part of this world, we can never have that full expression of fellowship and relationship manifested that God intended for us, like Adam and Eve had before the fall. And he says, death, for me to live is Christ, to die is gain. The gain is I gain this relationship, this life that God intends for me to have. And that I was created to have, But as long as I'm alive on this earth, in this body, my relationship to God is not fully manifested the way it will be when I'm with Him. Okay, and so that's the gain part for when Paul says, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. And so he goes on and he says that as long as we are home in the body, we are away from the Lord. In verse 7, he says, we live by faith today. He says, not by sight. He says, we are confident, I say, and would prefer to be away from the body and at home with the Lord. So we make it our goal to please Him, whether we are at home, in the body, or away from it. Our goal is the same. It's walking in this relationship with Him. Okay, and so that's kind of how Paul sees this, and how God would describe there is this relation, the dimension to the relationship that we have is far beyond just what our limited perspective tends to be. So, going back to Joyce and some things we'd talk about and wrestle with and struggle with, and so about 4 years ago, Joyce wrote a book for her mother and my mother who were having issues with death. Okay, and so she decided, well, I'll just write a book describing my first day in heaven, and what I think my first day in heaven will be like, and I'll share it with my mom and dad, or with our moms, and then they'll just be blessed and touched, and you know, they won't fear death and all this stuff. And in reality, it was a book for her, more than for her mother and my mother. But she says this. This is kind of how she starts it off. It says, many people think about their deaths. They ponder what it will be like to die. It says, sometimes fighting fear and doubts. And then she makes a statement that for her, I guess it would best be described as her signature of what I'm looking for. And so she says, but the last day of life here will also be the first day in heaven. And so here's where we begin to go with this journey. I can never experience fully what is in my heart. My heart's greatest desire can never be met as long as I walk on this earth. So that has a whole lot of repercussions for us, because all of a sudden, when Joyce began to go this way, her desire for this world begins to diminish greatly. And so, as she begins to walk with God, begins to visit with Him in a new perspective and stuff, it's like her heart's desire began to be tugged more and more away from this life to that perfect life. And so 2 weeks ago, or 3 weeks ago, when I sent out an email that Joyce had kind of gone downhill and that she had, you know, wasn't wanting to take morphine because, you know, she could have these times in which she could walk with God. You know, she could literally go through this portal, as she described it. She says it's kind of like a manhole cover. But the cover was granite, this beautiful granite. And she said, I could move it at will and go through. And I could spend my time in heaven. Now, she's had a lot of visions up there. And yeah, we can share that sometime if you want. But she said, you know, I'd be spending about 60% of my time up there. I'd get called back to this world when the pain would begin to take over, and it was like, oh, I need to pay attention to the pain again. And so she said, well, the more I spent time up there, the less I really desired to be here. Now, she says, it was kind of strange because I didn't desire not to be here, but it was so much sweeter there that it became, that's where my heart really was. It just gravitated there more and more. So now I'm going to tell you a story that Joyce had, and it kind of goes along with this, and this happened in June of 2007, so about 2 years ago. We had, Joyce and I went down to Waco. There was Robert Henderson Ministries. Robert Henderson is an evangelist, apostolic leader, and he's anointed for healing. And he just has a gifted anointing for healing. And so, you know, I'd met Robert Henderson and said, well, would you pray for my wife? And he said, sure. And he said, hey, by the way, you know, in the end of June, you know, my ministry is moving from Waco to Colorado Springs, but at the end of June, I'm having a partners meeting in Waco. Why don't you bring Joyce down and see what God does at this meeting? And so, okay, we'll do that. And so we go down to Waco, and it's a Thursday night, all day Friday, and Friday night meeting. And so we're there, and Joyce's hip was really hurting her, and so she's in a wheelchair for just out of convenience because it's easier to get around when you're not hurting like that. And so we go, and Thursday night was kind of a teach, and Harold Eberly was there teaching at this thing, and Joyce wanted to go hear Harold. And I'm going to, well, let's see what God does. You know, you can listen to Harold, but see what God does on the side, you know. And so as we, so we go, listen to Harold and Robert do their teaching thing, and really they're gearing towards Friday night, the last night. And so we get there, and there's like about 250 people at the convention center there in Waco, and Joyce is the only one in a wheelchair. And as we went in, and we sat down, and Joyce basically looked at me and said, "This is not going to be very good, because I'm the only one in a wheelchair, and this is a healing service, and you know what is going to happen. They're going to have me get down front." And they're going to have me get out of the wheelchair because they got the cameras on. You know, this is going to be a spectacular thing. And you know, Joyce, I don't want the limelight. And so so sure enough, you know, about the time that the worship and the singing is over with and Robert's almost done preaching his message, here comes this woman. And we were two-thirds of the way back, and she comes up to Joyce and she says, "Why don't you come with me up to the front?" And Joyce said, uh-uh. She said, "I'm fine right here." And she said, "Oh, no, you need to come on up front." And Joyce said, "Well, I'll come up front later, but let God do his thing with everybody else, and then at the end, you know, we'll come up front." She said, "Okay, I'll come back and get you." So toward the end, she comes back and gets Joyce, and this time isn't asking. She just comes up, gets the wheelchair, and away we go. And gets her down front, and now there's a big platform, you know, a stage there in the convention center, and so fortunately they just kept her down front, and so Robert Henderson knew about Joyce, because I'd told him what was going on, and so he prays for Joyce and says, "Did the Lord do anything?" And Joyce says, "Yeah, I feel like a lot of the pain has left my hip." But there's still pain there. And he says, "Oh, well, that's good. Well, let's pray again." And so they prayed again. And Joyce said, "No, it's about the same." He says, "Well, you just need to stand up." And Joyce thought, "Oh, Lord, I knew this was going to happen. And he's going to have me walk." And so he picked her up out of the wheelchair. And he says, "Okay, what I want you to do, I want you to walk to the end of the platform and walk back, you know. And it's about 60 feet across this platform. It's a long platform. And so Joyce starts walking. Now, I know that it's painful for her to walk. And she's walking, and I'm watching her walk. And she walks there, and she comes back. And he says, oh, do it again, you know. So she goes down there and comes back, you know. And he said, well, how is it? And yeah, she said, and before he could say anything, he prayed over her, and she falls out in the power of the Spirit. And so she gets up, and the lady who was in, you know, says, oh, great. And she says to Joyce, here, you walk back to your seat, and I'll just push the wheelchair, and everybody will see you walking back to your seat, you know. And Joyce says, no thanks, I will push the wheelchair myself. You know, so she pushed the wheelchair, and as Joyce said later, I was in so much pain, I was going to pass out if I wasn't holding on to something. So Saturday, you know, morning, we get up, and we're coming back here, and so we're talking about, well, what happened last night? Anything happened? You know, and she says, well, actually something did happen, but it wasn't healing. So I said, well, what happened? And so she writes this story, and her epistle on this one is entitled A View Beyond the Wheelchair. She said, as soon as I got out of the wheelchair and stood up, and he says, okay, walk, you know. And so I start walking. Now, I'm standing back here at the wheelchair watching her walk, and she's just walking, you know, like this. You know, she's walking on the ground. And Joyce says, I was conscious of the fact that I was walking on the ground, but I wasn't walking on the ground. She says, I had, and Joyce is about 5 feet, 6 inches tall, and she says, I had a perspective of about 5 inches higher than I have ever seen before. It's like I was 5 inches taller than I really was. I could see from a different perspective. And she said, so I caught myself walking over there and thinking, this is weird, because I'm walking and yet I'm really not touching the ground, but yet, she says, I know I'm touching the ground. And I'm standing back there, yeah, you're walking on the ground. And she said it was, and so she went 60 feet to the other end of the platform. Then she came back, and he said, well, do it again. So she went down there again. And then when she turned around to come back, she says, all of a sudden, what existence I was in stopped. And I was back to Joyce Hall in the flesh. And she said, I could hardly make it back to that wheelchair. I was in so much pain. And so she says, God, what was that all about? And so she wrestled with God, or talked with God about this. And what was that about? And this is what she drew a conclusion from this. She said, when those three laps, she said, and she says, walking on the ground, but yet I was taller. She says, it was almost like you were nobility, how you're just above everybody else. And you're just, you stand up straighter, and you're noble. And she said, there was a nobility about me that I've never known before. But she said, what really impressed her was, I know I'm flesh and blood, and I'm walking, but the physical nature of my being was not dominant. The spiritual nature of my being was dominant. And it controlled everything. So that I could walk, but yet I was walking differently, and there was no pain whatsoever. It's just about the third, when I got down there the third time and I had to turn around and walk, I ceased living in that spiritual dominant atmosphere, and now I was back to the physical that dominates our life. And there was pain like you wouldn't believe. I had forgot how much pain there was when I was walking where the Spirit dominated. And so I tell you that story because it was one of those events that begins to transform her even more in her thinking so that, you know, I think God gave me a picture of what our existence is like when we cross from this life into the life in which the Spirit dominates our existence. We'll still have physical bodies in some sense, but they will not be the dominant aspect of our existence. They will not rule us, but the Spirit will rule us. And she says, yeah, there was no pain. And it was like everything had a different perspective and flavor to it. It was like everything was right. And then all of a sudden, we're back to our normal, what we would say normal, because that's what we experience. Our normal, everything's not right. And so God just gave me a glimpse. So it's those kind of experiences that Joyce began to think, you know, I'm longing more and more for this time when the physical no longer dominates. And so, you know, when we get to that point, it's really hard to be sad when that which her longing was for is now fulfilled. And so it's kind of like, well, hon, you're lucky. You get, you know, and she had phrased it one time in one of her writings. She says, when I was a little girl, gave my life to the Lord, my deepest longing has always been to walk hand in hand with Jesus. And so, you know, when my last day on this earth ceases and it's my first day in heaven, I get to fulfill my childhood longing. I said, okay, adios. Enjoy it. And we will join you someday. And so that's kind of how I see this stuff. And so we wrestle because we come back to the real world that we live in where the physical kind of dominates our thinking. But really, I long to get to that point where the physical doesn't dominate my thinking. Because the physical always limits us to this. The physical always keeps us here. Whereas when the physical no longer is the dominant way we think and perceive and live, there's a whole other dimension that opens up to us. And that's the dimension that God created us for. And so he longs for us to be there. He longs for that. And so David writes, inspired by God, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. Because when that happens, the very purpose for which God desires for us is now reached. Amen? Okay, that's kind of where I'm at this morning, 12 o'clock, May 3rd. And I'm done. Okay, now, thank you for letting me share. Yeah. And so anyway, I might come back next week and say, hey, all that was, I've changed my tune. No, I won't change the tune because, you know, in all of life, you know, when the elders were meeting, you know, last month and we were talking about some stuff, and I said, you know, all of us have core beliefs. We all have certain scriptures that anchor us. Because and they forge in us some beliefs that no matter what happens, this is where we stand, and it just can't be changed because this is what we know to be true. And I said, you know, it really is good to write those things down. And so, like, how many of you just know that God is good? Yeah, see, that is one of those anchor things, so that no matter what happens, you go back to stand on, I may not understand it, but God is good. And so therefore, I can always praise Him because He is good. And so we walk then in this life, in this physical dominated existence of ours, knowing there is something out there that is even greater, and God has destined us for that and purposed us for that, and we will receive that if we walk it out faithfully to the end. That's why Paul says, persevere. Keep walking it out, because there is something greater. It's not life added on to what we have, because we already have eternal life. But it's a dimension or a manifestation that is the most complete that we will ever experience. And so that is very good. And folks, that's where we're going. Amen? Okay, well, let's stand and have a word of prayer. Well, Heavenly Father, we just we thank You this morning that You have, as You look upon our lives, You see beyond where we see. And so we would ask that You would just open up our eyes of our spirit to begin to see greater that which You see and purpose for our life. And God, as I have mentioned, we do not desire to be a people who are bound and limited by the physical nature of our existence. But we want to be dominated and controlled by Your Spirit, even as we walk in this physical world, knowing that there comes a day which, when we are away from this body, we are at home with You in such a glorious existence that we will instinctively know, this is why You created me. So, Lord, we thank You for that which You teach us, that which You show us as we walk through life. We give thanks to You always because You are good. And we want You to know how much we love You, and we give praise to You in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Okay, and I'm going to call the girls this afternoon and talk about when we need to have a memorial. You know, I talked to them this morning and just said, listen, I'll call you after church and we can talk about our plans for a memorial service or whatever. And so we'll do that, and then we'll get in touch with you about when it is. But what's happening in 2 weeks? Master Grill, okay. And it'll be fun. Okay, and so let's give us Shabbat. Our Shabbat is all glory to Jesus. Are you ready?